The biggest shift was when I said, I'm done, I'm out. I've got to stop being all things to all people, and I've just got to figure out what my lane is and get in that lane. And the belief that you have to have when you walk away from treating patients, the belief is in the end what's going to get you through. You can have all the strategies in the world, and I can give you all of the tactics and all of the say this on the phone, but if you don't have that underlying belief, that's the bit that's going to stop you from this.
This is the Paul Gough Audio Experience. Whether you call yourself a PT, a physical therapist, or a physiotherapist, and wherever you're listening to this right now, this is for you. It is me revealing everything I can to help make you a more successful business owner. Thanks for listening. It means the absolute world to me.
All right. So, like we say, we always like to bring one of our 4% members up and introduce Paul as well. And nothing gives me greater pleasure. And please make some noise for Mr. Robert Birkhorn.
Whew. It's good to be up here, guys. Not only just to be introducing my mentor and what I consider to be, to a degree, a friend, but being in front of all of you amazing business owners. When Simon first asked me to do this yesterday, I was like, But at the same time, it's something that I felt like I needed to share just because it's something that it's been a big part of my life at this point. When I first met Paul, it was Memorial Day weekend, 2019. I don't know if you remember that weekend. Yeah. And this sharp-dressing, smug British guy walks up on stage, and I'm just like, who is this guy? And why is he talking to us in the U.S. about doing cash PT? Why? And it just started with that. And it just started with a whisper because after that talk that he did, I just happened to be sitting in a podcast that he was doing with, I don't know if you remember, Jared Cooper. And I just listened, and everything that he was saying just seemed to resonate. And at the time, you know, I was in a meal clinic seeing 20 plus people a day, and I was at the point where my wife was getting ready to divorce me. So here's where I get emotional. So Paul's definitely saved my marriage at this point. I'm a much happier person, much happier business owner, and it's not only just being here that and listening to Paul in person, but it's the conversations I have with you guys. Because even since I've been here last time, I not only got my first hire as a front desk, but I've raised my prices, I've doubled the number of visits that I've had, and I'm looking to hire more people after I leave this meeting. So, without further ado, Paul Gough.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
No problem,
yes,
sir.
Appreciate you. All right. Am I good? Caleb, am I good? All right. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning, Simon. Amazing. Thank you. Great. Great start to the show, if you like. Well done, Robert. Fantastic, and thank you again. It's. I say this every time, though, you know, those little moments when I listen to the stories, I don't know if I get nervous or I just get some kind of, I don't know, whether it's butterflies or whatever it is, but it's a reminder for me personally of really what we do and why we do what we do, and the importance of just sharing what we're doing in the story and everything that, if you like, that I can give you or bring to you or connect you with people to ultimately help you have a better, better life, if you like, and business. We find people like me. So I do the same. I find mentors and I find coaches and numerous of them that in the beginning you think you're seeking out somebody to help you make more money. And really what we're doing is seeking out knowledge or information or just insights, somebody to follow that ultimately helps us lead a terrific life. And it impacts our marriages or relationships. It impacts time with kids. The difference between being present physically and mentally is obviously a huge, it's massively different. We can be there physically, and some people candidly wouldn't come to an event because they'll say, I need to be with the kids. And I say, that's cool, I get it. Or I won't go to work on a Saturday because I need to be with the kids. The problem is they're not there mentally. So there's no point in being there. So to me, the business is a beast, and if you don't get a grip of it, it will literally run your life. It will ride you for the rest of it. So the reason that we do what we do is to ultimately not just give you marketing plans or business advice, it's ultimately to give you the ability to get a grip of this thing that you're obviously in love with, and it's a drug, and we all want to be as successful as we can with it. But to give you the ability to ride that, to ultimately have a significantly better life. And there's definitely been one or two marriages I've been credited with saving, which is quite ironic given that I'm not married. That's okay. Those jokes will come out across the next few days. And just to confirm, smug, is that an American term for handsome?
Sure.
Is that... let's just get that one clear. I've heard brash, and I've heard... what have I heard a few times? Asshole, I've heard that one a few times. There's been a few times. But I do remember the event very, very well. Obviously, Greg connected us. And again, the kind of message, if you like, for everybody. You never know what you're doing or when you're doing it is actually making an impact on somebody. And I do remember the podcast that I did. I'd been on stage pretty much, well, certainly most of the day, and I'd been working, and somebody asked me to do a podcast. And I remember that Natalie was in the bar, and I promised her that I would go and have some drinks with the kids. And this is, it's probably 6, 7 o'clock, wasn't it? So this guy just said, look, can you come and do a podcast for me? I was like, fuck, okay, all right, I'll do it. Smile on my face, and off we go, we do the podcast, right? And 3, 4, 5 people start listening, of which Robert is one of them. So he doesn't listen to the real version of the podcast. He's listening to the podcast in the room, if you like. So you never know, you never know when things are going to come back to help you. And I always say the stars line up when you look back. Everybody wants these things to line up perfectly. Everybody wants to come to an event and know why they're coming to the event and what they're going to get from it. But ultimately, it'll be when you leave here, you'll connect the dots somewhere in the next 3 to 6 months. And it will be because you met somebody, you had a chance conversation at the bar that wouldn't have happened, that I couldn't forecast, Simon couldn't forecast, nobody could. That ultimately, you do that enough times, you end up with enough stars lined, enough dots connected, and all of a sudden you've got a nice little pathway that feels a little bit more solid for you to walk on. You've got people all over the world you can call on. If you take the risk, you put yourself in the situation enough times for it to happen, I absolutely promise you that it does. And I'm living proof of it. I'm a product of the product, if you like, of my own life. There's nothing special. There's nothing amazing about it, other than I've just probably put myself in a situation enough times to make a few good things happen. Leveraged the shit out of it, figured out what I needed to do to get to where I want to be. But ultimately, it was about getting in the right place that I didn't know was the right place until after it, enough times to make all of this work up. So let's have some fun. So State of the Union, right, from that. Who wants to go? Should we just do some more of that stuff and leave this shit aside, right? State of the Union, what's going on in the world? I think the last 3 months, so I've just come through a round of CEO sessions, 48 businesses. I get to see everything, balance sheet, profit and losses, cash flow forecasts, cockpits, the whole thing. I think it's been the toughest of the whole pandemic for a number of reasons. Obviously, Omicron, media did their job of probably giving everybody one last big fright. Christmas, nobody wanting to catch it, to stay away from family, friends, all that type of stuff. We saw that, I would say, in 80% of the businesses, revenue was down. And sometimes it's nice to be, whenever I told anybody in CEO towards the end of the rounds of CEO, people, oh, thank God it's not just me, right? Misery loves company, as we know. So it might inspire you to know that if you haven't had the best of 3 months, it probably isn't you. There genuinely is occasionally times where just everything conspires against you. Situations, the environment, the government, the press, fear, whatever it'll be, people genuinely catching it and not wanting to come out and doing the right thing. I think you have been whacked in a sandstorm in the last 3 months. And I've seen it since that first initial three-month lockdown. This last 3 months has been the worst of the pandemic, same in my own business as well. So the good news is, though, it's definitely starting to pass through. England's about a month ahead. I always kind of give you an update. England seems to be a month ahead every time of all of these variants or something happening, the Delta, then the Omicron. It seems that England seems to identify it or get it first, and then it makes its way to the US and travels around the world. England is definitely through it. It might surprise you to know that officially COVID is over in England. The government, now you can't get tests or you have to pay through the nose to get it. And if you have it, you can still go to work, you can still do your thing. There is no more isolation. There is nothing going on in the United Kingdom anymore. So in the eyes of the UK and the scientists back there, it's over. Whether it happens in your country, I don't know, but we'll see. It might happen in Florida. It's probably not going to happen in New York or California anytime soon, but that's... Of course it is, yeah. Yeah, they'll all be open for the next couple of months, yeah. But on a serious note, it has been a bit rough. So don't beat yourself up too much. If you're still here, you're still in business, you've still got your team, it might have been a bit hard. I do genuinely think, and I say this to my team all the time, there are just circumstances in life every now and again where there's nothing that you can do. Accept it. Don't beat yourself up. The worst thing that you can do is beat yourself up. But the power of being in a room like this and part of a community like this is you get a collective wisdom. You get a vantage point from 35,000 feet. You don't just see it from your own office and think, there's something going wrong with my business. Probably not. And I'm going to get into these types of conversations across the course of the next 2 days. Some of you are designing really, really good machines, really, really good businesses that are making a lot of money. You're just not quite sure where the cash is going. And because you're not sure where the money's going, you're making stupid decisions about what to invest in and what not to invest in, who to hire, who not to hire, who to fire, who not to fire. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that in session three. Staffing issues, anybody felt it? It's again amazing how many of you say, in Texas right now, you can't hire anybody. I say, can we please remove Texas? In California right now, we can't hire anybody. Please remove Texas. In England right now, we can't hire anybody. Please remove England. This is a worldwide labor shortage. It's a birth rate issue. It's not going away. Get your head around it. And it is not going away next month, the month after, this is it. It's here to stay. The birth rate is causing the issue. It hasn't kept up. The governments have plowed the economy full of that much money. Businesses have got that much to spend. Production could be 10 times higher than it is right now because of the amount of free money that's been given out in the last 2 years. The birth rate has been 1.6 for about the last 10 years. It is not keeping up with what it was when it was the 2.4 family. We want to blame Biden or Trump or Boris or whoever. I mean, they did what they had to do to keep the businesses in business by giving out money. This is now the next consequence. You're genuinely going to have a labor shortage. Look at kids who are going to college and staying there till 25. That didn't happen 30 years ago. COVID's probably brought the curtain down on a few careers 2 or 3 years early who've gone, I'm done, I'm out, I don't need this. I love being with my grandkids. So the people at the top are going, fuck it, I don't need to come. You make me get a vaccine that I don't want, I'm not coming to work. Don't need it. Husband goes to work or wife goes to work. We're fine. This was the excuse I needed to retire 2 or 3 years early. The kids who used to go into the workforce at 18 are now staying at 25. You've got a 1.6 average birth rate for the last however many, probably a decade. Put all of that together, you've got a labor shortage. There's money in every Western country, and the businesses are trying to spend it like there's no tomorrow. Some of you are spending money on your clinics right now, the physical clinics, because you got money off the EIDL or a bounce back loan in the UK. You wouldn't have done that, which is why when you drive past every building, there's scaffolding up outside of it. There's your labours. There's the guys. Those guys are getting serious money to go off who might have gone and possibly done a job for you as a marketer or a, I don't know, what you get the point. The consequence of it all, of where the money has come from, plus the birth rate issue, plus the people retiring early, plus kids going to college for significantly longer, you've got a labour shortage across the world. So it's not your town. Now, what you can do about it, well, knowledge is power. You know about it. And don't say to me, when this passes through in the next few months, it's not going to pass through in the next few months. What you need to do now is switch your marketing a little to be more about how do we look better for prospective employees. Look at your LinkedIn profile, your social media profiles, your email marketing, your websites, your Glassdoor reviews, everything that somebody might just give you an edge. But I still stand by it. I still stand by that there is some fantastic talent out there. It's just taken twice as long to find them. Which is why you need somebody in your clinic whose job is 5 hours, 10 hours a week on Indeed, on JazzHR, whatever it is that you use. You've got to have somebody now in that business that is focused on recruitment. We'll get into that as the day goes on. But to counteract it, your competitors are probably going to pay more money, right? This is what's going on. They're going to pay twice as much. They're going to put another 5,000 or 10,000 on the payroll because they think that they have to do that. Now, you might have to, right? And the news and inflation and everything else is going to tell you and make you feel like you have to overpay for employees. The truth is you don't. Ask Lee tonight about a conversation that we did yesterday for a new finance assistant for him to join our CFO program. How much pay cut? 15 grand? 15? £15,000, $25,000 pay cut. Wants to come and work in an environment where she can be happy. Now, that took us probably 2 months to find that person. But we've got people who are dedicated to recruitment. Now, you don't need to be at the level I'm at. I'm at 40, 50 staff. But even if you've got 5 or 6, somebody needs to be relative to that amount of staff, whether it's 2 hours a week, 5 hours a week, 10 hours a week. You've got to prioritize recruitment. And if you don't, the price you will pay is a soaring payroll. And feeling like you need to snatch at every employee that comes or applies for a job. That is what's going to kill you. The success of all of your businesses, if it's true for mine, it's absolutely true for yours. The success of all of your businesses is going to be people and team. And the emphasis that you can put on recruitment. Anybody in Sherpa, you'll start to see some of the Tuesday calls will be about marketing for people, how to update your LinkedIn profile, how to use your social media and your marketing, your emails, your positioning, how to get reviews from your team. Can we get you on Wikipedia? Can we give you an edge over another business where they look at you and say, I want to go work for him or for her. I might not get as much money, but it looks like I'm going to be happier. People will do it. Question for you. Is now a good time to start thinking bigger? Anybody know? Anybody disagree? Is now a good time to start thinking bigger? I think it is. I think it's always a good time to start thinking bigger, wherever you're starting from. Many people look at what is happening in my world, right? And I want to show you this. And really just to inspire more than anything. So at the center of it now is a guy who started with a physio clinic. There's a guy at the back of the room. Pick his brains tonight. Peter, just give a little wave. Peter's my head of security. No, he's not. We've nicknamed him Kevin Costner. We're looking for a way to put him on the expenses so that we could put it through the business. So he's head of security this weekend, if anybody asks, right? But Peter's got a great story with me, and he's watched this for, when did we meet? 28 hours? So about 12 years. Peter was the guy that helped me build my first clinics. He was the joiner, the tradesman, the carpenter, you might call it. He was the guy who did everything. Brought in his family, brought in his kids to help with plastering, painting. When I started my businesses, Peter was the man that was there when I was a solo guy, probably with Vicky. He's watched this whole thing for 12 years. I started down there. It probably wasn't even Paul Gough Physio Rooms. It was just Paul Gough. It was just me. So over the next decade, that's the universe that I've built. You look at what's going on now. I've got a property company, as many of you know, with a management team running that. I've got Private Practice CFO now, which is officially launched, with Sophie and Lee running that. I've got Private Practice Marketing, where Tiffany is in charge of that. I've got Paul Gough Physio Rooms that Kayla's running. Paul Gough Media that I essentially run. I'm still in charge of that, GM, CEO, whatever you want to call it. And I've got We Love Renters. There's enough properties to start my own property rental company. So I've got a management team who run that. I probably didn't have any idea that I was going to do all of this, and if I'm honest. If 10 years ago me and Peter were having a beer one night, there was no way that I could have predicted this. But I did always think big, and I always knew that something else was out there, and I knew that something else was possible. And I knew that if I did the right thing and I believed in myself and I got the right coaches and I hung around with the right people and I didn't make any stupid mistakes and I pretty much dedicated my life to doing as I was told, I had a chance of something. And every time I got one of these pieces in the jigsaw, I never really rested on the laurel, if you like, of, well, I've cracked it now, because I don't believe there's anything to crack. I think it'd be a pretty sad day when it's cracked. And I don't really buy into the idea of retirement, and I don't really buy into the idea of an end goal, and I don't necessarily even buy into an idea. We have our own outsourced CFO, Glenn, who's listening on the call, who works with Lee. And we were talking yesterday about where we might put money and invest in various things, and I was like, guys, you're all forgetting one thing. There might be a better investment somewhere, but none of you have had the conversation about what I want to give up to get that. And I don't necessarily want to go after more money if it's meaning I don't get to spend time with the kids on a morning, or I have to start flying around to various places for something that might play out. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not thinking bigger. I'm always thinking, if I just double down on all of these businesses that I've got and they're successful, I absolutely believe something else comes your way. Just an opportunity will come your way. Not necessarily one that's left field, but probably within the thing that you're already doing really, really well. And it'll appear. I have no doubt that all of you are getting opportunities to do things. And all weekend you're going to hear ideas. You're going to talk to people tonight at the bar about things that they're doing that you potentially could do. But the problem will be you won't be able to do it because you haven't got the most important thing to build a universe, which is what? People. People. It's not time, it's people. It's not time. Time. We've all got the same time. I appear to have more of it because I've got more people. I buy time. Every time I hire somebody, I'm buying time. And every time I buy time, I get a chance to think bigger. And sometimes some of you can't get to the point of thinking bigger because you're still doing shit you should have got rid of 5 years ago. Why? That's up to you to figure that out. The belief, maybe, that only you can do it. The belief that if it goes wrong, you won't be able to live without somebody giving you a high five or somebody telling you how good your business is. If it goes wrong, who gives a shit? It's in pursuit of something much, much bigger. And if at every point on this journey, I'd have stopped, right? Even back to the day when Peter was around, the first big decision was the courage to go, I'm not going to be a physio anymore. I'm stepping out of this. And if I lose a few patients, so be it. We were talking about this a couple of nights ago. He might remember, he'd had a few glasses of wine at this point. But what you don't see when somebody like me makes that decision, right? So I show you this universe now, and you go, fuck, that's amazing, right? This is unbelievable. But it all started probably with one or two big decisions. The first one was to quit my full-time job in soccer. Done, right? You've all done that. We're all in the game. The second one was to start thinking of myself as a marketer. And the biggest one, or a company that would be heavily involved in getting PR, marketing, running a website, and getting various things going. This is back in 2007, right? And I remember telling one of my friends at university I had a website. And they were like, what the fuck? Right? Think back to 2007. Having a website was like, wow, like you've cracked it if you've got your own website, right? So I was probably one of the first to start thinking like this. I had videos going out on YouTube channels, 2006, 2007. So I was thinking of myself as a marketer, but in the physio business, the biggest shift was when I said, I'm done, I'm out. I've got to stop being all things to all people, and I've just got to figure out what my lane is and get in that lane. And the belief that you have to have when you walk away from treating patients, the belief is in the end what's going to get you through. You can have all the strategies in the world, and I can give you all of the tactics and all of the say this on the phone, but if you don't have that underlying belief, that's the bit that's going to stop you from this. There's not much more to it. And this was the conversation I had with him. I'm adamant. That's the only thing I figured out a few years back. I've got a little bit of self-belief, and I figured out how to harness it. And from that, all of a sudden, new opportunities, new challenges, new things started coming my way. And then I figured out I had a bit more self-belief, and I probably could get over that big decision. And I could take a risk on moving across to another country, starting another business from another country. But everything goes back to the self-belief. And everything went back to going, I'm out. I'm done. I believe I can do something else. I believe I'm capable of significantly more than being a PT. Now, if that's what you want to do, cool. But if you want to think bigger and build your own universe, Jennifer hit the nail on the head. You haven't got time. But the reason you haven't got time is because you haven't hired people. So I put this slide on the board for you next. What's the key to building your own universe? Hire good people, drive accountability and managerial responsibility as far down into the business as possible. And then get the fuck out of the way. Stop meddling. Let them fucking get on. Give them a plan. Here's what I need you to do. There's the targets. There's the resources. There's the money. There's the training. There's my phone number. I'm here when you need me. We'll check in every week or every couple of weeks. But get out of the way. Now that takes belief again. Because it's a little bit fearful hiring somebody to come in and run the baby. Is it? Is it a little bit not ideal when somebody comes in and, oh, what if they get access to this? And what if they see that? And, you know, what if they have the credit card machine or the credit cards, whatever, right? What about if they don't treat the patients as well as you do? Well, newsflash, they're never going to. They might actually do it better. You know why they'll do it better? Because they've got more time than you. And if I've hired right, and I know what I'm looking for, and this person's done the job before, it's inconceivable to think that these people can't treat you better than I can now. They've got more time for you. I've still got the time, but if it's one person trying to talk to 150, well, not many people are going to be happy. But if there's 13 people want to give you some love this weekend, they can make you feel probably significantly better than I could if it was just me. Now, I can have a huge fucking ego and stand here and go, it's only me. Or I can go, actually, I've brought these for you. Go have some fun. Staff yesterday, all about you guys. The connection, the relationship, make sure everybody leaves here feeling special. That's what we want. But I can't do that on my own. So you've got to get to the point of hiring good people. Accountability is the best word ever in my life, in your life. Lee asked me the other day, why do you keep hiring coaches? I said, because my success in the end is going to get in the way. My ego will get in the way. And the reason I've been successful is the reason I'll fuck it up. I challenged somebody in CEO recently who is a little stuck, making $250,000 a year profit and a little stuck and has now got a scratch looking for an itch. I'm like, this is going to go south. You're going to fuck this up. You're doing so well, you are going to fuck this up. And the immediate response from this person was, I warned, I'm aware of it. And I said, that's why people die in cars without seatbelts on, because they think they're just going around the corner so they don't need to put a seatbelt on. I won't put my seatbelt on, we're only going around the corner. Bang. It's the most stupid thing to think. The minute you think you're not going to fuck it up is the reason you will. So the journey that you've got to go on is A, figure all of this shit out when it's trying to kid you. But the more accountability that you can get in your life, the better. Accountability is a call with Simon. I've had coaches for 5, 6, 7 years. And I promise you, if I brought any of them in this room, I would probably win the award for the most coachable. Primarily because I do a very simple thing, like 24 hours before a call, send an email to say, this is what I want to talk about tomorrow. That's it. I'm accountable to that person. And because I'm accountable to somebody who I respect, who probably knows a little bit more than I do about whatever it is I want to talk about, even if he doesn't, it's just a conversation and we thrash it out. And sometimes I come up with my own answers, but I needed the 60-minute conversation to do it. So anytime as a business owner you start running from accountability, you're in trouble. And really what you buy with these types of businesses or these types of coaching or me or Simon or CEO or whatever it is you're involved in, you're buying accountability. And that in the end is going to stop you. Or that's the thing that's going to drive you on. How do we get managerial responsibility? Many of you now are at that point with ops managers, marketing managers, finance managers, whatever it is you need. These people are going to be the reason that you're able to step back from a day-to-day business or you'll stay stuck in it. And your ability to hire them, know what you need them to do, manage them, coach them, guide them over a 12, 18, 24-month period of time will be the reason that you can step back from the day-to-day or it will be a grind.
Thank you for listening to Paul Gough's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgough.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at @thepaulgough using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.